All right, so I think we got one open line for you, a wild card line maybe. Grab that now. Join the conversation about superheroes, or because it's open lines, take us anywhere you want to go. In fact, several conversations have already started that we could continue with or start one of your own. Love to hear it. That's the whole purpose of this every Friday on Coast to Coast. I'm in for George Norrie. And is that the first time we ever played Jane's Addiction as a bumper? Seems to me, have we? Okay. Or Been Caught Stealing, maybe. I can't remember. Maybe one night when we were talking about dogs or something. But that's been the theme of our show tonight, of these superhero bumpers. Great songs. And a fun topic. If you missed our earlier guest, you can go find out more at Coast Insider. Sign up tonight. And you can listen to any guest anytime. And coming up tomorrow night, we'll kind of continue a little bit of the theme. Polka Dot Man from Suicide Squad, our old friend David Dismulchin, will join us in the first hour. He's on set for his new movie. We'll find out more about that. Maybe it's a rom-com. I keep holding out for him to do a romantic comedy. And then our main guest tomorrow night will be Lincoln Starnes, American Phoenix, Heroes of the Pentagon on 9/11. Yeah, you could say we're a month early on that, but we like to zig while others zag. So we'll talk about the Pentagon aspect of 9/11 and a lot of these stories you've never heard coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Rocking the phones. Rose on a wild card line in Pueblo, Colorado on Coast to Coast AM. Rose?
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call, and I'm really happy to let you know that I am a superhero, and I come from outer space. My name is Pronghorn 11, and I am here to just make sure that we respect one another, and we respect what we think is very, very kind and loving, and I'm here to just be very, very respectful. And if you want to see my video, I'm on Dream Teller Video on YouTube.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. But tell me, where are you from? You said outer space, so where in outer space?
A place called, well, I'm actually the name of where I'm from, which is Pronghorn 11.
Okay. And what happens on the, did you grow up on Pronghorn 11 and then come here later, or?
Yes.
Okay. What's life like on Pronghorn 11?
It's like a pool of love is how I can explain it. It's just beautiful. It's heavenly. There's just a love vibe. We all, you know, we're all spirits of love, and we come to the earth to try and just kind of teach people on Earth.
Are there more people from Pronghorn 11 other than you that are on Earth?
Well, there are. And, you know, I've got to keep them to myself because we have to come to the public one at a time. So,
I see.
You know, I've got to kind of keep them secret.
That's all right. Did you have a job on Pronghorn 11?
Yes, my job is actually on Pronghorn 11. I grew up to become this kind of an ambassador to everyone on Earth because Earth needs a lot of help. The Earthlings are, you know, they're coming upon a time when just all sorts of love and light is coming upon us. And so I grew up to learn how to teach Earthlings how to respect one another and just to love one another.
You know, you used Earthling, and I'm so happy that you call us that because I would have thought that was kind of only like a 1950s sci-fi movie kind of thing. But you actually on Pronghorn 11 referred to us as Earthlings.
Yeah. Okay. You're from Earth and you are Earthlings, and we did do a lot of educational material on Pronghorn 11 about Earthlings during the 50s. We kind of helped you to understand that, you know, the movies that you made and the books that you wrote, we helped you to kind of go in that direction where, you knew that you were Earthlings, and we tried to help you to know by movies and by TV shows. And we're really beautiful beings. And
no, I trust you.
We want to love you.
So you came here. How did you come here from Pronghorn 11?
I have a spaceship. And if you do see, if you watch my video on YouTube, you'll see it.
YouTube? Where do you keep it?
Where do I keep my spaceship when I'm on Earth?
Yeah. Yeah.
In New Mexico, hidden near Dulce.
Okay. And then do you have a job here on Earth in order to support yourself? Or did you come with, you know, Pronghorn 11 technology that you have licensed or some other means of providing for home and shelter?
Yes, I'm actually pretending to be an Earthling, and I do have an Earthling job. I'm an editor, and I'm also a filmmaker, which is a good job for me because I can give you my story through my filmmaking and my poetry. So I do editing, and I have a very boring job where I edit websites.
Well, that's okay. I've had many editors in my life, and I've long suspected that they're from another planet. So I'm with you. Doesn't surprise me. And so are you married? Do you have a family, an Earth family?
I am. My only family are four-legged furry people, creatures.
Okay. All right.
Because I can relate to them, and we, we talk the same language. And so that is my family.
Okay. But, I mean, if you come from a planet of love, doesn't it get a little lonely in New Mexico? Yeah.
Yes, it does. And that's why I am always connected to my other Pronghorn 11 energies. And so, the love is always there, and the loneliness comes with the job. And I get to connect with others who are here, and we are all from Pronghorn 11, and we do connect, and so we keep the loneliness at bay.
What was your favorite food on Pronghorn 11?
My favorite food on Pronghorn 11 was this kind of a delicious mixture of, it kind of tastes like pasta and kind of a sauce. I am trying to
spaghetti
on Earth terms. It was delicious. It was, and okay. And so the pasta on Pronghorn 11 is even better than what you would find in Italy.
Okay. And then what's your favorite food here on Earth?
My favorite, it's totally vegan because I'm unable to eat other creatures. So okay. I just eat plant-based delicious foods.
Okay.
Lots of veggies and fruits that are organic.
No chocolate.
Oh, definitely chocolate. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do they have chocolate on Pronghorn 11?
We do have chocolate. It's even better than chocolate on Earth. It's even most, it's kind of like heaven on Pronghorn 11. It's just everything you can think of that's good on Earth is even twice or three times as good on Pronghorn 11. It's okay. Delicious there. It's really a good thing. And sometimes if you just think of what you want to eat, like ice cream or any kind of Earthling food, you can just think about it and it appears. And you can just have it. It's great.
Kind of like a planet like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, sort of.
So not that you ever would, but if you ever do get lonely for other companionship, remember that at coasttocoastam.com, there's Paranormal Date, and I would think that you'd be a big hit.
Oh, my gosh. I think I better sign up right away. And then I can just respect everyone there. I think that's a great idea.
Very good. You all can respect each other all night long.
Yes. Respect and love and light to you and all your listeners. And just remember, respect each other and love each other. That's all you have to do. Just respect and love each other, Earthlings.
50s, that it was the flights of, you know, their U2 spy craft.
Right.
And so what I did was I filed a FOIA request for all documents and emails and letters and anything pertaining to that tweet. And so my intent was to see how much research did they really do to try and justify saying that. And all I got in return, the only documents was that some, the names were blacked out. So remember the sixth exemption that I said.
Right.
So the names were blacked out. But ACIA personnel sent presumably to a boss, an upper level, said, hey, how about this? And that was the tweet. And then the boss responds and says, sounds good. Multiple spelling errors and so on. And my whole point with bringing up the, I'm not trying to be a grammar Nazi, but my whole point of bringing that up is the carelessness and the speed and the swiftness that they just didn't really spend any time on it whatsoever. It was an email that said, hey, why don't we tweet this out? And somebody else said, yep, sounds good. And so they tweeted it out. And so what I did was I then cross-referenced when the U2 was flying. And you know, when you're talking about the mid-1950s when it started flying, what happened to all the UFO cases prior to that? And there's a ton documented. And so, again, it's that blatant disregard for real history and documents that disprove what they're trying to claim. And so they sent this out to the general public and said, oh, you know, everything in the 50s, that was us. But in reality, there's no way that that can historically be true. And so I you know, dive much, much deeper in that in the book with documents and so on. But it's ludicrous on how blatantly false they really are when trying to explain this, because it's like they want to stick their foot in their mouth when they try and do this. I have no other way to explain it. You know, going back to the Roswell explanations, there's no rhyme or reason to be this blatantly false. It would serve them better to just ignore it and not respond at all.
You know, the Roswell thing, I keep trying to find a logical way to explain why they would be throwing up so much, you know, flack here to try and catch all the heat. So this idea about what could have been in these capsules or whatever it was that, you know, I don't even say capsule because suddenly that definitely I'm defining it for something which I don't know what it was. But if they found something that was childlike on the ground that they don't want you to know about, here's a fairly grisly thought: is what if it was in fact a dead child?
Yeah.
You know, and what if the government was, you know, was that was what they were using as a crash, quote unquote, test dummy, was a corpse that they had been able to get their hands on. Not that they did the killing, but they were able to do it so that they could, whatever it was that they were attempting to do. And okay. That was really strange. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Danny, let me ask you, at what point was it, right at the tail end of the conversation with the woman from Pronghorn 11 when I went off the air? Could this be a sudden burst of energy that suddenly, as I was readjusting to a conversation with a fellow Earthling, because I have no explanation at all, nothing can, I mean, maybe there's something along the line, but I was just picking up Rich from Milwaukee. Or maybe Rich has superpowers or he's some sort of supervillain that it knocked me off of my connection back with Sherman Oaks. Rich, are you there right now?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
I need to have you. Go ahead.
You know, a fascinating topic tonight. Being from Wisconsin myself, I didn't realize we had all these superheroes amongst me.
Yeah.
And about 55 years of age, a few years ago, I actually self-proclaimed myself to be a superhero. And I'll give you some details on that.
Okay. Who did you proclaim? You proclaimed it only to yourself, or did you notify others?
It was noticed by others.
Ah.
And I used to work for a local government, and one of the job functions that nobody wanted to do was picking up residential yard waste.
Yeah.
Very, very, very heavy buckets, bags, you know it. You'd have to take these and manually put them in the back of the truck, blah, blah, blah,
sure.
blah.
Sure.
And it what separated me from the boys, so to speak, is that we would, during the summer and that, we would hire a lot of college kids and 20-year-old kids and all that. And I would run circles around them. And it, like my coworkers thought, Jesus, man alive, you know, either these people are lazy these days or whatever. And I went as far as, I actually volunteered for this work for about 4 years. And again, job nobody wanted to do because of the physical strength. You had mentioned earlier that with your guest that did you have any special powers? Well, I didn't have no special powers other than at 55 years old being fit and having great endurance, because that's what you needed.
Okay, and I could it also be that you're just more motivated and more mature than the average 22-year-old who's hating life?
Somewhat, but being this for a few number of years, I just kind of I went as far as to print myself a shirt instead of having the Superman logo on it. I put a YW on it for yard waste. I used to wear that. And I didn't wear no cape or no masks, but.
Right.
It's a function that just people will not do.
Yard man or waste man? You could kind of go either way with that. But yard
you
waste
could,
is.
But, it, but
that,
it definitely it definitely took a lot of endurance and strength. And you know, we had individuals that at 11 o'clock in the morning were done. They couldn't even go any further.
It's long been said that anybody in America can make $1 million if they're willing to do a job that nobody else wants to do. And they do it well. And so that obviously is a talent. Are you still working for the government or now are you freelance yard man?
Little both.
Okay. All right. And do you still wear the shirt with the YM on your logo?
I have wear it at times. It's kind of tucked away for a while. It's a good memory for now.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. And I have a suspicion that we'll probably hear from more than a few. I mean, that's two for two now since we started going to open lines. It doesn't have to be about being a superhero, but it's kind of cool to hear what people are up to. Let's go first time caller line. Tebow is in New Orleans. Tebow?
Yes, sir. You can hear me?
Yeah, you're doing great.
My superpowers, what I've been doing is calling the radio station and trying to get the message out. I read the Bible a lot since I was a kid, and I figured it out, you know. And when Obama came along, it all made sense.
What do you mean you figured out the Bible? What do you mean by that?
All right, here I go. The angels blew their trumpets. Both beasts rode in on abomination. They took the power away and gave it to the second beast. The second beast is going to give it back to Obama. The Bible says the forehead of a leopard. Leopards come from Kenya. And then we go straight to the secret, as which is Obama's childhood was the same as Hitler's childhood.
Whoa. How do you get that?
Married another man, the Mexican peasant. And Hitler's mama was messing around with the Jewish guy, the Jewish peasant.
All right. I'm not going to go for anti-Semitism here. We're drawing the line at that. So you're done, if that's okay. And even if it's not, you still are. All right. Back to open lines coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right. Don't know who to go with. First, let's go with the guy who called back, got knocked off, Nolan in Texas, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Nolan?
Yes, sir. I have a ranch, and me and my son go out to the ranch. We go out in the back pasture, and we see lights in the sky, and I can't explain it.
Well, tell me what you mean by that.
I can tell you we have horses, we have cattle, and I'll be on the back of my truck, and my son will say, stop. And I promise you, we see lights in the sky that I can't explain.
Yeah, but I mean, give me a description of that. What does that mean?
Okay. Well, we'll see a big, bright light, and then it'll sit there, and then it'll go away within seconds.
And then come back.
and then come back, and then it'll go away. And I got video of it. And
oh, cool.
I can tell you, I am a religious man, and I don't believe in UFOs and all that. But I can tell you, being out there in the back pasture where we're at, my son has told me, he goes, Dad, there's something going on. And he's seen it with his own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes. And I can tell you, and it's dark. There's nothing out there.
Yeah, yeah. I should hope that you're not getting any light
pollution.
And
I can tell you, out here in Bulverde, it's dark. I mean, this is country.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally get it.
I'm a country boy. And I can tell you, you look at the sky, and when you see something like that, you wonder what's going on.
Well, let me ask you a question. So, first of all, I don't think seeing something like that is a challenge to faith, or that to being a person of faith or a religious man, as you say, means that you can't observe something which is observable and repeated. So, I mean, you're seeing what you're seeing. You don't know yet what it means. You don't know. It's an unexplained light, but it's not like you've seen a craft. You're not seeing people climbing in and out of anything. What's the most, what's the feeling you get when you look at it? I'm always curious about that question. What do you feel?
When I see something like that, let me tell you the truth. I actually think maybe it's an angel. Maybe it's something looking over the ranch, because right now there's a big family feud going over the ranch. And when I see that, I think maybe it's I don't know how to explain it.
I want to get to the feel. What happens to your body if you're to be in touch with your heart rate or a tightness in your chest? What do you feel when you see that light?
My heart starts beating, and because I know it's out of my control, and my heart starts beating. My son, his heart, he's like, Dad, he gets overexcited, and we both get anxious, very, very anxious.
This is what I'm getting at. So do you feel like, as you're looking at it, are you experiencing a kind of, fight or flight response, or do you feel attracted to it like, here's something beautiful that's coming to protect us?
I feel attracted to it, and I want to know what it is.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Appreciate that. And the dark sky gives you good video. So, yeah, there's lots of ways to send something like that to our website, coasttocoastam.com. We'd love to feature a story if you get a video that you want to share with us. And, it's pretty easy to get in touch with the folks at coasttocoastam.com. Let me go to Charlotte in Alabama, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Charlotte?
Hey, Ian. Hey. Good program, good show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to remind you, in there talking about superheroes, not to forget that the streets of New York City are always being patrolled by Curtis Sliwa and his guardian angels. There's a whole team of them.
Is he still doing that?
Yes,
I didn't know he was
still doing that. Okay. And I might add something else that he's fixing to do. He is running for mayor of New York.
Oh, I heard that. I just didn't know he was still patrolling.
Yes,
yeah, I had a chance to meet him once. I enjoyed meeting him.
He's amazing.
He is.
I've never met him, but I've heard him a number of times on talk shows.
And I think his ex-wife and I went to high school together.
Really?
I think Lisa Sliwa. I think I don't remember if we were in the same class, but we were there at the same time. I think he's not a front runner in the race for mayor, but he's always an interesting character. And I think that superhero aspect of it is exactly he has done by patrolling and creating a presence. He always does help. Yeah, he does help. Very good. Thank you. We'll go to Mary in L.A. on Coast to Coast AM. Mary?
Well, after listening to that smiling woman from Foghorn 11, I'm just hoping she'll come and rescue me if I end up in prison for civil disobedience. Well, I felt I was protecting a black man from being another George Floyd. He had no reason to be getting six or seven cops huddled around him being arrested on the ground. And I got overly zealous and I kicked a cop in the behind.
Yeah,
and
you
I
don't
spent
want to do
4 days in solitary confinement.
Yikes.
And 1 day in court, waiting for court. And I still haven't, I don't know, I may go to prison for this, but
I don't think you'll go.
I didn't
to prison.
Do it as a, I did it to me because of my fear that we would be another shameful city that would do something, go overboard. You know, even if you didn't get killed, just to go overboard, it bothers
yeah.
me.
Well, L.A. obviously has a history of that that predates George Floyd, too. But, yeah, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. Usually, I mean, not prison. I hope that maybe they can work out a if a suspended sentence or something like that and or probation and you promise not to kick any cops for a while. They may,
luckily,
I think they,
I'm 71 years old, luckily.
So no, they're not going to send you to prison. Yeah, they're not going to do it.
I'll tell them I'm dying or something. I don't know.
Wear a sweater and a hairnet and go in there. I think you'll be all right. Mary, thank you. Let's go to Doug in Portland, Oregon. Not good to kick cops, by the way. I'm not suggesting that's good. But west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Doug?
Yes. Hello, Ian.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're great.
Awesome. Thank you for taking my call. I am a superhero.
What is your superhero name?
Methane Man.
Uh-oh. Where's that going?
I'm responsible for all the chemtrails.
You are responsible for all the chemtrails?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's different than where I thought you were going with methane. So explain to me, how do you get up there and leave the chemtrails?
I pull my finger.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Chris is in Columbus, Ohio on Coast to Coast. Chris?
A little fun here. Had a couple questions, and I wanted to speak about my meeting with Clayton Moore.
Oh, cool.
Ago when I was 7 years old. I'm a Cherokee Indian, and he was at Ghost Town. I'm 7 years old. Clayton Moore has given his speech about, you know, in this saloon-type setting.
Right.
I have the Lone Ranger. And me being an Indian kid, I want to see Tonto.
Right.
You know, kind of ignores. And I said, I want to see Tonto. Young man, come up here. Okay, I go up to see Clayton. He says, okay, here's the autographed picture from me and Tonto. And I still have that picture.
That's neat.
He was really a wonderful, wonderful superhero. And he kept himself clean, not like the other. Some of the Western guys did. But another hero of mine was Johnny Crawford from The Rifleman.
Oh, interesting.
Coast to Coast had a show on him, and he played some of his big band music, and he played music, guitar and stuff.
Hmm.
And the day he passed, they didn't give him an acknowledgement that I heard on Coast to Coast. But it was a wonderful show that they had.
Have you ever heard the story that the real Lone Ranger, the one after whom the character was modeled, was African-American?
No, I didn't hear that. That's new to me.
His name was Bass Reeves. R-E-E-V-E-S. He was a freed slave. Hmm. And he was a master of disguise, like the Lone Ranger. And he would go out for months at a time and confront outlaws of the Old West. And the part of the legend of him as the prototype for the Lone Ranger was that he had a sidekick who was Native American.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of cool,
yeah,
isn't it?
I had a suggestion there for Coast to Coast and would make nice if they would get it. One is Red Elk used to be coming on. He passed away a few years ago.
I remember.
He taught his son Indian magic. They could probably, if they would, you know, they could probably get his son on the show some night to talk about it.
Hmm.
But he was great. Also, I wanted to ask, because of this infrastructure bill that's going through, Coast to Coast has been very famous for asking to harden our electrical grid. And I was wondering if any money is going to go toward that, because it needs to be done, because you've done shows on solar flares, and this is something that really needs to be looked at.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll pass that along.
Okay, also, one of your guests.
Wait. I got other people who got it. I got to get them on before the top of the hour. You don't get that many also, but I appreciate the ones you had. They're good. Mark is in Las Vegas on Coast to Coast AM. Mark? Okay, I'll go to Cornelius on Coast to Coast. We'll get you in before the top of the hour. Cornelius?
Well, I'm glad to be following that guy. I was telling our lovely Gina and stuff. I was Bass Reeves, of course, is that's how they originated the Lone Ranger, was a black fellow with that Indian escort, and he was in the Oklahoma territories and stuff, and he gave away silver coins instead of the silver bullet that the Lone Ranger would. And they did a special on him, and Clayton Moore's, I guess, survivors or heirs, they participated in and stuff. But I got a chance to meet my real superhero, and that was Bess Parker. I met him one time. My mom used to travel a lot, and I said, that's Daniel Boone right there. And he said, son, yeah, I'm Daniel Boone. And he just was great and everything, and just like he was on the show. But, you know, that T-Bone, I'm glad you got rid of him.
Yeah, I don't go for that.
You don't need no bonehead like that on.
No. Well, I'm happy to always draw a line at that. I know that everybody does, and I'm always disappointed when we hear a coastie take the show.
I don't know if he was a coastie. Well, first time. I don't think he was a real coastie.
Well, he can't be if he
that come in too.
That's true. Well, I would say he's not if he actually espouses he starts getting all of that ugly racial stuff in there. He can't be a true coast. Yeah, I appreciate that. Cornelius, let me grab Skillet, who's somewhere in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast. Skillet?
Hey, how you doing? About 3.5 weeks ago in Minnesota, I was driving my 18-wheeler, and I'm looking out the windshield, and all of a sudden, off to the left of my eyesight, out in the horizon where the tree line is at night around 3 o'clock in the morning, I see this white light like literally fall into the clouds and moving pretty fast. And I thought, well, what the hell was that? It must have been a shooting star. And then about a second and a half to maybe 2 seconds later, it shot out of these clouds at an arc. And it moved for about 4 or 5 seconds over the horizon, and it was still whitish, which you could see the outline that it had a bright light to it, a whitish light. And so my question to you is, how can that be a shooting star if it's in the atmosphere and it's not red? And my other question to you is, if it's traveling for about 4 or 5 seconds, in my estimation, it went at least 7 miles. How fast would that thing be moving?
Yeah, that's a really good math question. We don't get a lot of math questions on this show, so I will defer to others. But I think I'm not the guy who will try to talk you out of that, because that's kind of the beautiful thing about Minnesota too. You do it's far enough north that you get the northern lights frequently. And there's a lot of activity in the sky that draws your eye up there. So I don't know. I'm not one who thinks that everything that happens in the sky is a craft, but at the same time, I think that there are so many amazing aerial phenomenon, and I think that we need to keep a record of them, and we need to get more videos and more photos and continue to challenge the government on this. I think the stuff that they've already released is pretty amazing. And as they've said, all except for one had some sort of there was no earthly explanation. There was just one that they were able to find. So the more we can keep doing it, the more we can keep challenging it, I think the quicker we'll find out more about what actually is going on, and especially now with all that activity in Canada. Maybe I don't know where you were in Minnesota, but maybe you were picking up on some of that action as well. We have one more hour of open lines on Coast to Coast, and I look forward to seeing where you're going to take the show. Now, remember, it can be about the superhero thing, but it doesn't have to be, and we got plenty of other things to talk about, especially if you go to coasttocoastam.com and you see some of those stories up there. Like those ghost pants. Nobody's addressed that. The pants that were just seen running down the middle of a street. Just pants. Just, if you pardon the expression, just zipping right along. David Dismulchin, first hour tomorrow night, and then American Phoenix, Heroes of the Pentagon on 9/11. That's coming up tomorrow night. In for George Norrie tonight, this is Ian Punnett.